Just before I sort of get into what I want to talk about today, I think it's really important. There carries a lot of weight and responsibility when you speak from the front, and I take that quite seriously. And it's really important that you hear what I'm saying. And I don't know about you, but sometimes what is said, we don't always hear what the person is saying, and I don't want to be misunderstood. I am going to talk today about us feeling uncomfortable. I'm going to talk about us feeling sometimes that we feel like we build a wall, or we need to shy away from people. And I'm going to talk about being uncomfortable, okay? I'm just going to come out with it. What I'm not saying, and this is really clear, if you feel you are with somebody dangerous and they make you feel uncomfortable, please run in the opposite direction. If you are with somebody who is unhealthy for you and has been bullying you, please don't do what I'm asking you to do this morning. I am not talking about that. So I just wanted to make that clear, because it could have been misunderstood. And if you're still not sure, please come and see me afterwards. Is that right? Good. So what do you see? I think we see an array of things when we see each other. And James, in this passage in chapter 2, it's entitled, I am following the New Living Translation this morning. I know you saw a slightly different one up there. It's a warning against prejudice, okay? And there are 13 verses. So to me, James is saying this is really important, because he's put so much into going over this. So I will do my best to do this in a whistle stop time, so you're not here till midnight. But I think it's important for us to stop and really look at what James is saying. So that opening verse there, my dear brothers and sisters. So he's talking to those who are his brothers and sisters, not biological, but they're part of the family of God. This is what we call church, okay? How can you claim to have faith in Jesus if you favor some people over others? Now, I've used that word favor as in favorite, because I think that's probably the best word to use. I think a lot of us will use that in our language. We understand what it is. My favorite cake, my favorite place to go and visit, and is it your favorite person? So favorite. Other verses, the translation in that verse will use partiality, but I don't think we say that as often, if you're partial to, and some discrimination. I know a lot of you will understand discrimination, but some of you may not quite understand that in this context. If we have a look at what the dictionary says for favoritism, it is the practice of giving unfair preferential treatment to one person or group at the expense of another. So hopefully that's starting to make sense and that's a bit clearer. This is when we deliberately choose a person or a group over another. And so James is saying, as somebody, he gives an example straight away, doesn't he? As somebody comes into your meeting, so whether that meeting would have been in a home there, he's talking about here today, we could talk about church within these four walls. And he gives this example, doesn't he? He said, you might not understand what I was on about. So just in case you weren't, I'm on about, imagine you've got this person in fine clothes coming in and looks like they're wearing very expensive things. Oh, hang on a minute. Let me quickly clean the chair. We didn't clean it well this week for somebody like you. Come and sit down here at the front. I've got a special seat for you. Alan, I know what you like with your cushions. Go and get him a cushion a bit quick. Then we see somebody coming in, maybe they're a bit smelly, I don't know, got holes in their clothes, and we go, oh no, I really worked hard on cleaning those chairs this week. I don't know whether I really want you to sit on it. Maybe down here by my feet, that would be much better. So James is trying to give us this example, just so we understand. Are you behaving in this way that is causing us to favour others over somebody else? And I think that was a really good example, even though it's only an example. There are lots of different people that you could choose favor over. But we always have people who are rich. We always have people who are poor. So they are always in our communities. So it was a really good example. And you know, while, and I think it's easy, and I know James is doing that here, this is while I'm talking to my brothers and sisters. So you're here this morning because you're interested, surely, in God. You want to hear God this morning. You want to grow in what the Bible says. So you've already come with a mindset that I'm going to try my best. I'm here in church. I'm going to do what I should be doing. Or you see others. I don't know about you, but you guys encourage me and inspire me. If I see you going to do something and I'm thinking, oh, I can see them acting in such a loving way, and it encourages me to think, yeah, I need to step up to that a bit more. I'd like to do that and respond in that way to people's needs and things. But what are you like when you're out of this building? How do you then greet people, include people, welcome people, no matter what they may look like, appear, what you might think they're like, or what sort of judgment you might have put on them? I saw a really interesting experiment, and I'm sorry I couldn't capture it. I'm not technically able to manage it, but I'm going to tell you all about it. It was an experiment that was done on the streets of Paris, and all the pedestrians have no idea that they're part of this experiment. And so they have somebody come along, and he had a woolly hat, and he had a scarf, he had an oversized jacket on with holes in, and he had shoes, you know where the ends have gone? So his foot was sticking through, okay? And so he was walking along with the others. He's all part of the experiment. He knew what was going on. And he starts to cough so that people look. And then he coughs some more. And then he's spasming, and he falls. And not one person on the pavement stops at all. They sort of turned a bit when they heard the coughing getting a little loud, but they didn't do anything. Then they try the experiment again, and they have somebody dressed in a business suit, nice hairdo, shiny shoes, and he's walking along with everybody else, and he does exactly the same. So he starts coughing, coughs a lot more, then he can't walk anymore because he's spasming, and down he goes. And everybody on the pavement with him rushes to him and helps him, picks him up. Completely different. And you think, if you were told that, oh, I wouldn't do that. I would be there. I would pick up that man, you know, that did, was in those rags. And but what had happened? People stereotype. We do it. And actually, they probably looked at him and thought, Oh, I think that's a homeless person. Oh, is he drunk? Oh, I'm sure maybe he always lives over there. Then all of a sudden, the person who's well-dressed, well, he's on the way to work with me. We're just presuming he's on the way to work with me. Oh, he's one of me. He's hurt. Oh, dear. And all of a sudden, whether we realize it or not, we start to become prejudiced. We make up a picture. We're too busy. We don't have time to check. And it's really interesting when you see experiments like that, it then causes some challenge. So I'm just trying to bring some of these challenges to us this morning. And I really found this whole passage from James really practical. So I don't know about you. I know a lot of you are moving. Some of you have just started jobs in the NHS, some of you starting a brand new job tomorrow, and I know what some of you will be doing. You have to go on your training courses. Oh, yes. And of course, because we have the Equalities Act in this country, you must follow the discrimination and inclusion policies. Who loves those? Yay, who loves all the policies? Yay. Oh, you look very excited. But they have them. And everywhere you go, you have to follow all these things. Well, to me, it's like the world is catching up. You may grumble that you've got to go on all these training courses and read about all these inclusion policies and da, 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 da. However, the Bible has been saying this for years. This is, I don't have a big Bible, I've got it on a piece of paper. This is from James to the church, our inclusion and discrimination policy. And in verse 8, we'll get to it in a minute, we have the procedure. It's all there. So if you're stuck at work and you think, oh, what was is it I should be doing? Because there's like 100 policies or whatever to look through. I know, love my neighbour as myself. There we go. And it's done. And I think it's the world that's catching up. God has made it very clear from the beginning. There's lots of verses that echo this, but Romans 2, verse 11 says, God does not show favouritism. God doesn't even see it. He does not choose between one or another. God treats us all equally, a bit like we saw in the film there. I know a little bit about this because in the last 8 months of my course, my counselling course, which I finished, by the way, with a distinction. Yay! Just waiting for my certificate to come through on my counselling skills. Anyway, so that was really good. But what I've been through has been interesting. So, okay, I'm going to put myself out here now. So I would have said that I'm very welcoming and accepting of pretty much everybody. But what this does, it not only looks at things that physically cause me to be distracted, but what's called subconscious bias, what is in the back of my head, in my subconscious, that maybe I've not been aware of. And that was... Ooh. And I remember sort of thinking, I'll just put, like, you know, something nice, because they don't know me, and, you know, God will have to convict me later, but I don't know. And then they do, it's not like that. They're asking you these questions. So if you were in this situation, Louise, where you're like, why would I react like that? I'm thinking, oh, it's all right, it's confidential. We won't show anybody. Oh, good. But actually, so I'm going to put myself on the spot here. So I hadn't realised this, but if you find maybe after the first week or so that somebody is physically distracting, you may not be the right person to counsel them. Because, why? What do I see? I only see this, and I cannot get in to help that person. I need, within a few weeks, to be able to see the person that's really come to me. So, I'll be honest with you, the things that have come up are facial tattoos. I don't have a problem with those. You have tattoos, don't really have an issue with them, but I find it distracting if it's on the face. So that was one of the things that came up as I went through this thing. So maybe help you to think. Now, I know because his neighbour has a facial tattoo, and I know him very well, and he's a fab guy. But when I first got to know him, I had put him in a box. I'm honest. I put him in a box thinking, oh, thug. So I don't know. I have to ask my mum. She raised me. Or aggression. The word aggression. Interesting, isn't it? When I got to know him, I'm thinking, well, how horrible, Louise. Why would you think that? He's amazing. But the tattoo, it caused me distraction. I know, Alice knows what I'm on about. And he's great, isn't he? But, yeah, he is. Strong perfume. That gives. There's certain perfumes give me an instant headache. So to be in a room with somebody face-to-face that might be warm, I'm almost feeling sick. And I couldn't, and that was another thing. So that's slightly different, but it makes you think about maybe some of the things that can cause, you know, those kind of distractions. And none of them particularly are my fault or wrong. So these are important things to hear, but actually it does become a problem in seeing the person inside. And so that's really interesting. So I'm hoping that will bring some things to your mind, okay? Now, as I said, in verse 8, it says, yes, indeed, it is good when you obey the royal law as found in the scriptures. You must, the procedure is so simple, love your neighbour as yourself. And then what does it say? But if you favour some people over others, you are committing a sin and you are guilty of breaking the law. So it's simple, but is it straightforward to actually put into practice? I don't know about you. Do you remember, if you think about the Good Samaritan, you know, and we were just thinking of that story and we tell our kids about it and all these people pass by and then the Good Samaritan stops, doesn't he, to help the injured person on the side of the road. we put ourselves in that shoe, those shoes of those people, would we have been any different? Would we be concerned that they would hurt us? Would we be concerned that actually if anybody else is seeing, I shouldn't associate myself with that person? All those things, that it is interesting putting it into practice. I want to tell you a little bit. I don't think she's turned up here this morning, but Tom's girlfriend, Gabby, has given me permission to share a little bit about her story. On Friday, she qualified as a prison officer, which is really amazing. And it's something that not everybody would like as a job. And she's aware of that. And she sat and shared a bit about her passion and how she sees prisoners. And she said, you know, I do not think myself any more important than they are, that I'm not above them in any way. And she said, if life deals a different hand to me, I could be in their shoes. She said, I could go out tomorrow, get in my car, drive down the road carefully, and a child could run out and I could hit them. And I could be imprisoned. I could even have a manslaughter charge if it was a fatality. And she said, I would hope somebody would give me respect and would care for me if I was in that situation. And she said, I have a real passion to help rehabilitate and educate those that need it, because obviously some people do deliberately make mistakes, cause problems and are imprisoned, but some do not. And she said, everybody deserves a second chance. She was very passionate about it, wasn't she? It was lovely. And she uses that mindset, love your neighbour as yourself, to actually show care and compassion to those on her ward. So you can be praying for her, because she's got a very difficult ward that she goes to in a men's prison that she starts on Monday. So I just thought that was really encouraging, and what a beautiful way to express what love your neighbour as yourself with. You know, it's very easy on the surface to be, you know, welcoming and accepting. But actually, we do need to think about, are there groups that maybe I marginalise, that maybe I don't even know quite why, which is where we come to this subconscious bias. Don't want to worry you or get too deep. But have you ever, because I've done this, so I know what I'm, you know, for me, maybe this is just for me this morning. Sometimes I can't explain why. There's no logical reason. But I feel the barrier go up inside me. And I don't know why, but I sort of might shy away from somebody. Maybe you've never experienced that. Amazing. But I have. And I think it's done very easily over time. Little messages that go in over our lifetime. As I said, it's not necessarily anything wrong, but it's really good to acknowledge it when it happens and maybe think, what is that? Let me explain a story. I grew up with a friend. We were in our mid-teens, so I don't know, maybe Thomas's age over there. Yeah, sort of like 14-ish, okay? And she had emigrated here from Australia with her family. And all she used to tell me about was these terrible Aboriginals. And she said, they're just dreadful and awful, and we mustn't go anywhere near them. And I'm thinking, well, at the age of 14, I wasn't really sure who she was on about. It's like, okay, all I knew, though, was it was somebody of a different culture and race, because when we went out, she was looking for them in this country. And she was, are they an Aboriginal? Are they an Aboriginal? She said, do you know what they do? They take white girls and they do terrible, they'll abduct us and do awful things to us. I was like, really? You know, and I remember, and I've thought about this over time. And do you know, I think if I went to her parents today and said, do you know how fearful your daughter was of an Aboriginal, particularly an Aboriginal man, and the thoughts that she had, do you know, I think they could be horrified and said, oh, no, we didn't mean it like what we were saying. There were some incidents in the area. We were trying to keep our, they had several girls, keep our girls safe. And we wanted them to be aware there were some dangers. But interesting, over time, those messages meant she has a block when it comes to an Aboriginal. And so maybe that helps to explain it a little bit, that sometimes these things come in over time. But we have to remember that God has created us all equal. We saw that in the video, didn't we? And in Galatians 3, verses 26 to 28, you are all children of God through faith in Christ Jesus. All have been united with Christ in baptism, have put on Christ, like putting on new clothes. There is no longer Jew or Gentile, slave or free, male or female. You are all one in Christ Jesus. And in James's time, the Jew and Gentile thing was a big thing. But I just get really encouraged by his words, because we get really caught up in gender and everything these days, male, female, and all the rights of this and that and the other. God doesn't even see male or female. Wow, that's quite enlightening, I think, that God sees us all equal, and he sees this and not this. So I know for today, I would like to ask God to help me to love others as he is asking me to do, by respecting other people, not to show favoritism. But I think if, from my experience, when I've had those feelings of being uncomfortable, I've had to really ask God, show me why. And he does, usually, if you could pray about it and ask the Holy Spirit to reveal, why do you feel like that? And I think the importance just comes, it was verse 9 that I read to you, and verse 10. Here, there's this really stark reminder about breaking the law. And I, in one sense, when you read this, it's one of those sort of like, ooh, that's a bit, you know, serious. But I don't know about you. Can you imagine somebody kneeling by their bedside going, okay, God, right, where were we this week? Oh, I'm so sorry. I broke number one. Number three. Oh, did I break number five? But I kept 6 and 7 and 10. It was a little echo on that, wasn't it? But actually, what James is saying, do you know what? If you favour some people over others, you've kind of broken them all. You're like, oh! So James is actually saying, this is really important stuff here. And I think that's where sometimes, and I'm not, please understand where I'm coming from here, because I think this church is amazing. But from my own personal experience, if I've seen it, I have seen it in church, where we have then taken maybe the other rules, and then this one, we actually just break even in front of each other. Where maybe we are looking at rules and not compassion. You might, this is now where I'm going to another level. It might not just be somebody who's walked in through the door this morning that you don't know. This could be somebody that you do know and you've got to know. And actually, you might feel, well, I don't know if I really agree with what they do. Or somebody's really disappointed you in the way they may be choosing to live very differently. And yet, we are called not to see somebody in a box with a label on it. We're meant to love them as they are. I did have an experience of this, and maybe that might help again. Because are you okay with stories? It helps me just to kind of put that in. I was arriving at a church that I used to attend with Linda and Duncan many years ago, and the leaders used to welcome us into some of the services there, and the leader was welcoming everybody in and had welcomed the people in, and then there was a friend of mine in front, and she was a Christian. She'd been going to the church a long time, probably not maybe as long as me, but she'd been there for quite some while, and she had brought along for the very first time her boyfriend, and it was a boyfriend who didn't go to church. And so this was it, and I was behind them, and he just made a snap judgment and decision, and he just did this. And he decided he wasn't even going to look, he wasn't going to speak, and he just let them go by. And I was sort of like, you know, I know I've been told off, John says I pull too many faces, so you can read me like a book. And he went, well, he said, Louise, I think I probably need to explain to you. I felt that that was the best thing to do because I'm disappointed in her. And she knows that that isn't appropriate. So therefore, I'm going to show I'm disappointed by not speaking to her today, let alone the visitor that she had brought. Yes, it was her boyfriend, which I understand, you know. And we can, you know, what he did wasn't right. And it did have consequences. So I don't judge him, because he's probably, I'm not being funny, but we've all made mistakes in how we treat people. And he's probably beaten himself up over that a lot, because she then left church and married him. I'm just saying. So, you know, and, you know, both of them, if we go to that, those last two verses, both of them, in whatever decision, whether what she was make, the decision she made was right or wrong, his decision was wrong. But the fact that he did it needs God's mercy. So we talked about breaking those rules, the laws that it talks about. That's the Ten Commandments. But because of Jesus, we actually have access for God's mercy to cover all of it. It's very easy, isn't it, to go, oh, people shouldn't behave like that. But sometimes we do. I've done it, and it's been painful consequences. I will put my hands up and say, I haven't always spoken or treated people in the best way. And usually, not being funny, they are people that we know well, and people that, you know, actually we probably are maybe shocked by. Maybe we are a bit disappointed. But we have to remind ourselves, Jesus, he didn't come to judge. He didn't come to condemn. What did he do? He came to save. I love this quote about God's mercy from A.W. Tozer. Proactive display of God's love to the guilty and the compassion extended to those in need. We all need God's mercy. And, you know, it is important to treat people without discriminating and showing favour over or not being partial to one or another, however word you prefer to use. And you know what? It's actually okay to disagree with how other people live. That's not what I'm saying this morning. You may have opinion on certain issues. Your own beliefs might go against what other people are doing. And you think, I feel like I've got a problem with that. What about the woman that comes here with a child? And you think, I wonder, who's the dad then? Do they have a dad? And when you find out, actually the dad is a sperm donor. What about those that have been imprisoned? How do you feel about that once you know? What about those that are same-sex attracted? How do you feel about those? I'm just putting that out there. And the reason why I've chosen those three examples, they are people that do worship with us here today. And you know what? I'm really touched that I am part of a church that is as loving and as welcoming as you all. And I think actually the older, I'm middle-aged, okay? So anybody middle and upper seem to be the most embracing and loving. And actually sometimes it's the younger people, because they can be so fundamentalist about things, like I was in my 20s and 30s. But actually with wisdom and age, you will find that some of the older people are much more wise and mature. And actually they set an amazing example for some of us to follow. And I think if we find ourselves in that situation, I suppose, where you're uncomfortable, maybe feel a bit awkward about choices people have made or who they are, why don't you go and get to know them? Ask them, why is it that you do that? Or why have you made that choice? Why are you the way you are? Because I don't understand it. You'll be surprised by what you learn. And you will start to see a person like God does. You will see how beautiful and amazing that person is, rather than maybe what's been on the outside and the label that maybe has been attached to them. Maybe you've put that on or they've put it on. Interestingly, God always uses people who are marginalized or don't make cut in society. I think the entire Bible, if you go through all those characters, it is full of people that God decides, I am going to use you. That will rock that society that you live in, because you are completely different and you stand out. What about Naomi and Ruth, Tamar, Rahab, Moses, David, the list goes on and on. Wasn't there even a stigma on Jesus' mother Mary, a pregnant and married mother, didn't even have a roof over her head to give birth? So it makes you think, if any of these biblical characters came here this morning and you knew their story, how would we be with them? It's interesting, isn't it? So one of the biggest groups of people who were marginalised in the Bible were lepers. I don't know if you know much about leprosy. I know we often look at it here because we support the leprosy mission. It's still in Asian countries today, still very marginalised. There's a huge stigma on it. Why? Because that culture, not saying all of them, but marginally, it's the majority, still hold on to superstition and religious beliefs that actually will stigmatise and discriminate that group of people. They get very concerned, are there curses on the, you know, they've been told, or there's a curse on your child because the way they are. It can come with some deformities and some cultures. Maybe they haven't been educated on what that means, and it comes very frightening. They're worried about transmission and things like that. So what is needed is some education on what it is and what it isn't. And sometimes we have to understand more about people's way of life and be prepared to listen and learn a bit. And I'm going to use a bit of Steve's example here from last week, because we haven't actually learned everything yet. And I remember Jim Freeman, when he stood and he was talking at the front here. Who remembers Jim? Anybody remember Jim? Yeah, a few of you remember Jim. Yeah, okay. I think he was in his 80s and he was talking at the front. And he said, you know what? I am shocked that I'm at this age and I still don't know everything yet. He said, in fact, the more I find out, the more I realise I don't know. So I've still got lots to learn, and I hope you all feel like that too. But what I am saying and what you are experiencing, we must weigh up with the wisdom that Steve talked about last week, because that's really important. Even what I'm saying this morning, you shouldn't just believe it blindly. You should go away and weigh it up for yourself. And it's really important to bring some wisdom in when we hear about new things and think, God, is that something that actually I haven't realized before? Or is that something to go, actually, that's not right? And we have to weigh those things up. So today is actually World Leprosy Day. I thought, what a great day on my talk about favouritism and discrimination, that actually it is World Leprosy Day. And what they have asked us to do as the Leprosy Mission Society, it's a day to raise awareness of the disease, maybe share some stories by those it affects, and calls an end to this stigma that they often face. So before I just do a little finish up, we're going to have a look at the video where there's a few examples of that.
I was diagnosed with Hansen disease leprosy 4 years ago.
I experienced Hansen disease when I was very young.
I was diagnosed with leprosy at the age of 8 years.
My grandmother was affected, my parents too.
I was depressed.
Treatment level.
The villagers won't try to help me. Talk with us. They won't come near us.
Delayed diagnosis mutilates and causes the affected persons to have physical impairments.
I also reached very late to the hospital because there was not much awareness about the disease in my family, and that causes deformity in my hand.
In Maradi, where I grew in the community of persons affected, I saw people suffering from stigma, suffering from discrimination.
मैले जति दुःख गर्नु गरे दुःख पाउनु पाए म जस्ता मेरो पछाडि आउने कुष्ठ प्रभावित दाजुभाइ दिदीबहिनीहरूलाई विशेष गरी दिदीबहिनीहरूलाई अगाडि बढ्नलाई अगाडि आउनलाई
Okay. So we are coming to the end, and I'm going to pray for us, and I think it'd be important to pray for all of those affected by leprosy and just be able to join with all the other churches around the country that are doing this morning in their services. But also then to think about our community, our church, and ourselves in the weight of everything I've said. What I'm going to do is ask Steve if he'd maybe put half of those pieces of paper on that side and then this side, we can pass them around. Because I'm married to a teacher, you've got homework. It is. I was going to do this, but I felt, actually, to go a bit deeper, you've had plenty this morning, this is for our home groups this week. So I'm going to give it to everybody, particularly if you're not in a home group or you weren't able to come this week or whatever. This is on our website. And when you go to the home page and I want to find out more about you, you press that. And then it says, would I be welcome? And so really, this is us putting what we've read from James and my interpretation, and this is what we believe as leaders here is our inclusivity welcome, if you like. And so have a read of that, okay? Because this is something then that we will talk about further when we get into home groups. And I'm sure what's been said today will bring up some stories and some challenges and how we can work through that. Okay, if you've finished, just about finished passing them around, I will pray. Yes, Lord Jesus, we first of all come and just thank you. We've just seen that video and we recognise the issues that go on in several parts of the world with those suffering with leprosy. And Lord, we know that from the stories we've heard and the discrimination and those that are very marginalised as a group of people, that there would be a breakthrough in the culture and the understanding of what it is and what it isn't, so that people are treated with respect and with care, and actually so they can get the help they need earlier on. And so, yeah, Lord, we do pray for them. And you know, we have no idea who's in charge of being able to make those sorts of things happen and those decisions and the changes. So, Lord, we ask that whoever are the activists and those involved in making changes, that there would be something that would be able to spur them into having great conversations and making action happen. And so, Lord, we think of our communities and we think of those that maybe are on the edges and those that maybe are not recognised as people in the same way as others are. And, Lord, we all have this in our day-to-day lives where we meet lots of different people. But help us, Lord, to understand that we need to love everybody as we do ourselves, not just our actual neighbour that we live next door to, but to everybody. That's what you mean by neighbour. And so, Lord, help us to actually start seeing people as you see them, rather than maybe the label that other people or society or even ourselves have put on them. Lord, we just pray for anybody here this morning who has felt on the edges of things, has felt that they don't fit, or that they're not accepted in the same way. And Lord, I pray for the healing to start in their lives. But Lord, I pray for each and every one of us to be aware if anybody is in that situation, to be able to extend love and compassion. We recognise we don't have to agree with what everybody does, how everybody lives, and who they are. But we do have to love. And so, Lord, we pray for your mercy, as we sometimes maybe don't find that easy to put it into practice, that you would cover us with your mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. Amen. Amen. Thank you, everyone.